Hello, this is Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, April 2nd, 2026. At the top of the front page, Iroquois County officials announce rural transportation carrier coming soon. By Carla Waters, managing editor. Iroquois County should soon have a rural transportation carrier. According to information from Iroquois County officials, future connections of Livingston and Ford counties will soon be the official rural transportation carrier of Iroquois County. The short press release indicated that future connections is hiring full part-time and on-call drivers for the Iroquois and Ford County service areas. The carrier's social media says it is a rural public transportation service in Livingston County. Officials had to scramble just after the first of the year when CRIS, CRIS, Rural Mass Transportation Transit District, stopped operations abruptly January 2nd. That action came after Chris took over for Showbus in the area in September, after it also abruptly stopped operations. During a January 7th meeting in Pontiac, officials from Iroquois, Livingston, and Ford gathered with Illinois Department of Transportation officials and other representatives to talk about the matter. At that time, a statement was ready from the Illinois Department of Transportation about the issue. The Illinois Department of Transportation is committed to providing safe, reliable transit for all communities in Illinois while remaining responsible stewards of the public's funds. For more than a year, we have been working with the district and local officials, including attending board meetings and meeting in person to address several outstanding serious matters and keep service running in Vermilion, Ford, and Iroquois counties. We have been very clear at all times about what steps have been needed to make sure federal and state regulations were followed. Going forward, all options are being explored to make ensure this important service continues with minimal interruption, read the statement. Monty Andrews, a program compliance and oversight monitor for PCOM for Iroquois, Ford, and Livingston counties, said in that meeting, "We are well aware the situation we are in is frustrating, but it is no way the fault of any of the county board members of Ford or Iroquois counties. Each and every one of those board members has been extremely dedicated in trying to ensure that the best rural transportation possible is available to everyone in Ford and Iroquois counties." Since then, officials have been working together to come up with a solution. Several meetings have been conducted, and several ideas on how to provide rural transportation were discussed with state officials also involved. No date for the start of the new service has been determined. America 250 program, Liberty Tree, dedicated at Gilman Danforth Library, by Kim Raby for the Times-Republic. On Saturday, March 21st, a group of citizens met at the Gilman Danforth District Library to join in an early spring America 250 celebration. Princess Wachiki chapter of the National Society Daughters of the American Revolution hosted the event, which included a dedication ceremony for a Liberty Tree. The tree, donated by Shane Cultra of Cultra Nurseries Onarga, was planted on the library grounds. Those who participated learned in the years leading up to the American Revolution, ordinary colonists rallied not only around ideas but also powerful symbols. One of the most enduring symbols was the Liberty Tree, a large elm just off Boston Commons, which became an important gathering place for protest and patriotism. The Liberty Tree became a visible statement of unity, courage, and resistance. In 1775, British troops, recognizing its power, cut the tree down, but by then its symbolism had already spread across the colonies. Communities designated their own Liberty Trees or Liberty Poles in public squares. This year, during America 250, the Daughters of the American Revolution and other civic organizations are finding opportunities to resurrect the tradition of Liberty Trees by planting oaks, lindens, and other resilient native species to create living memorials to honor our ancestors and ensure future generations. At the Gilman event, Princess Wachikee Chaplain Connie Gulquist led the Liberty Tree dedication. A young volunteer from the crowd, Jude Meyer, son of Brad and Carly Meyer, stepped boldly before the crowd and led participants in the Pledge of Allegiance. Kaylee Clark acted as color guard during the ceremony, and DAR member Belinda Mosser led the group in reciting the preamble to the U.S. Constitution. Carly Meyer reported Jude's class had recently memorized the preamble, and he was excited to to share with his social studies teacher his participation in that day's event. Local talent Tyler Robinson led the group in singing the national anthem. At the conclusion of the dedication, participants gathered inside the library for cake and socializing. In addition to local DAR officers and members, several library patrons, community members, and Gilman Danforth District Library Director Cole Daniel attended the event. Special guests included Tammy Goyne, regent of the Hoopston area, Barbara Standish, Chapter DAR, and Jane Faust, Illinois DAR District 3 Director. Princess Wachikee Regent Nita Benner said on behalf of the group, "It is our hope that this Liberty Tree will grow to be a mighty oak that will stand in our community as an enduring symbol of freedom and unity. Happy birthday, America!" And then there's a lovely picture here of them standing around a cake with a flag on it. And from left to right here we have Danforth Public Library pictures left to right. Connie Gilquist, Ilsa Williams, Nita Benner, Mary Burr, Jane Faust, Diane Gagnon, Belinda Mosser, and Kathy Henke. Unit 9 Board hears reports from administrators. By Carlo Waters, Managing Editor. The Unit 9 School Board heard from administrators at the March meeting that students and teachers are busy with current year activities while planning for the future is also taking place. Watseka Community High School Principal Kyle Nevels said in his report that work is going on behind the scenes for course scheduling. The freshman, sophomore, and junior students will be taking the ACT. Soon, seniors will be able to use the day for a college career day. There is also a career fair planned for April 10th at the high school. Those who would like to participate are asked to contact Sally Schwartz at sallyschwartz@watsekaschools.org. Seniors are applying for scholarships as they prepare for graduation. Junior high principal Stephen Rigsby told the board that students will be testing April 1st, 2nd, 8th, and 9th for the Illinois Assessment of Readiness. eighth graders will take ISA tests on April 21st through the 23rd. Rigsby said the Science Olympiad team advanced to state competition, and the students also earned the Spirit Award. Over the next few months, we will be finalizing scheduling for next year and having conversations with our faculty and staff about assignments. This begins the push toward preparation for next year, he said. IAR testing at Glen Raymond Elementary happened in March. Principal Eric Sternberg said, "We started IAR testing this week with our fourth and fifth grade students. Last week, third through fifth grade began IAR test prep, which I feel will be very beneficial as students take the actual IAR test over the next 2 weeks." The students were surprised on Monday morning when they entered the building to see that a few members of the Key Club, Student Council, and NHS had volunteered their time on Sunday to decorate the lockers and hallways with motivational posters, balloons, streamers, etc. "We were also fortunate enough to have various organizations and athletic teams from WCHS greet our students each morning with high fives to wish them good luck on testing as they entered and exited the blacktop and gym." Third grade students will begin testing next week. This was in March. She said 26 students participated in the Kids Heart Challenge for the American Heart Association. The students raised a little more than $900. Sternberg also talked about STEM and library. "Over the past few weeks, Mrs. Hansen, Mrs. Findlay, and myself have been focused on reflection, planning, and organization to strengthen our K-12 STEM programs moving into the next school year. We are fortunate to utilize the computer science grant again next year. A key priority has been reviewing our current structures and beginning to outline a more intentional schedule that maximizes use of new ELA curriculums and cross-curricular subjects," she said in the report. "As part of this planning process, we are developing a tentative STEM and library schedule for next year. The goal is to ensure consistent opportunities for students to engage in hands-on learning, inquiry, and literacy, while also creating time for collaborative projects. Another important focus area has been expanding technology integration in grades 3 through 5. We are currently working on the development of a structured program that will intentionally build students' technology skills on Google Workplace while connecting projects to classroom learning. This program will include opportunities for students to engage in digital creation, problem solving, and responsible technology use. As planning continues this spring, our focus will center on what is best for students and where we can create opportunities for growth. In the next couple of months, Mrs. Sternberg will gather feedback from teachers on their library time. The main goal is to discuss library at a separate time from the traditional specials lineup. With STEM changing to more intentional skills, grades 3 through 5, there needs to be change in how we conduct library time. At the elementary level, Mrs. Anderson has been working with Mrs. Findlay in creating Book of the Week videos. The students see these on the morning announcements and love looking for this book during class. She also created a great interactive book walk for Wanda Kendall Family Reading Night. The first through fifth grade monthly reading incentive program will continue, as it has been a positive motivator for many students. However, we are introducing a new incentive format to make participants more participation more visible and exciting for students. Instead of previous tracking systems, students will receive a wearable lanyard and earn a pinback button for each month they complete their reading calendar. This new system allows students to collect and display their progress throughout the year, building a sense of accomplishment and encouraging continued participation in the reading program. The goal is to create a fun and motivating way for students to celebrate their reading achievements while continuing to foster a strong culture of reading within our school. In 6th through 12, Mrs. Brutlag has been seeing a lot of traffic with students utilizing the online interlibrary loan feature to order materials. Traditionally, she has some of these books not being picked up in the allotted time. The Ute Scoop has helped students get their books due to their names being mentioned as having a pickup. This addition works better than the traditional Google document announcements. Lexi also has been able to build relationships with students through required reading and interactions with the rotation classes housed in the library. Over the summer, I plan to finalize our intentions for next year and hope to lock in an author visit in partnership with the public library. And there is one obituary. Maxine Lehman, 101 of Savoy, passed away at Autumn Fields Savoy on March 28, 2026. Celebration of Life will be at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, April 7th, 2026, at the St. John's Lutheran Church at Schwer, with the visitation 1 hour prior to the funeral at the church. A graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. at Gilman Cemetery. Maxine was born January 14, 1925, in Gilman, Illinois. Maxine was the daughter of Henry and Florence Meyer Solomon. She attended schools in Gilman and graduated from high school in 1942. She was employed by the First National Bank of Gilman until her marriage to Arnold Lehman of Milford. Arnold and Maxine were married in Zion United Church of Gilman on January 26, 1947. They were blessed with two children, Joy and Lee. In later years, she worked at the First Trust and Savings Bank of Watseka until she and Arnold moved to Salem, Arkansas, where they owned and operated a cattle ranch. Due to Arnold's ill health, they retired and moved back to Milford, Illinois in 1993. Arnold passed away in April 2000. Maxine moved into assisted living in Savoy, Illinois in 2018. Survivors include her son, Lee, and wife, Judy, of St. Joseph, 8 grandchildren, 19 great-grandchildren, and 6 great-great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents, husband Arnold, daughter Joy, son-in-law Tim Schaumburg, brother Robert, and sister-in-law Joyce Solomon. Maxine enjoyed music, traveling, gardening, playing table games, and most of all spending time with family. She belonged to Grandma's Club of Milford, Home Extension in Illinois and Arkansas, Milford Fashion Show, and Pepper Card Club. Memorials may be given to the church youth program. Arrangements are by the Knapp Redenius Funeral Home in Gilman. Please share a memory of Maxine at www.knappfuneralhomes.com. IMH Home Health and Hospice earned Joint Commission certification. Dateline Watsika. IMH Home Health and IMH Hospice have earned continued certification from the Joint Commission, one of the nation's leading healthcare accreditation organizations. The recognition extends accreditation for an additional 3 years and reflects the program's commitment to providing safe, high-quality care to patients and families throughout the region, according to information from IMH. This certification highlights the dedication and professionalism of our clinical team, said Mitchell Haas, DPT, Administrator of IMH Home Health and Hospice. The Joint Commission's standards are among the most demanding in healthcare, and earning this recognition again demonstrates our commitment to providing excellent care to the patients and families we serve. The certification process includes a thorough review of patient care practices, safety standards, staff qualifications, and overall program operations. Healthcare operations must demonstrate compliance with nationally recognized standards focused on quality of care, infection prevention, leadership, and continuous performance improvement. IMH Home Health and IMH Hospice provide two services that allow patients to receive care in the comfort of their homes. Home health services support patients recovering from illness, injury, or surgery who need skilled medical care while remaining at home. Hospice care focuses on comfort and quality of life for individuals facing serious or life-limiting illness, while also providing emotional and supportive care for their families. The team provides a wide range of services, from short-term home health care after a hospice stay to hospice care focused on comfort and dignity at the end of life. Programs are clinically supervised by Mallory Redeker, RN, and Angela Potts, RN, who help ensure high standards of patient care and coordination among the care team. Patients or families interested in learning more about services are encouraged to speak with their physician about eligibility or contact IMH Home Health at 815-432-6175 or IMH Hospice at 815-432-0185 for more information. And there is a picture of a bunch of people standing with and sitting with the certification in the middle. Certificate. First row seated, left to right, Angela Potts, RN, Home Health Clinical Supervisor. Mallory Redeker, RN, Hospice Clinical Supervisor. Second row standing, Christy Tomsich, LPN, Tracy Bishop, LCSW, Joy Yarno, Unit Secretary, Carly Nutzman, RN, Patty Lewis, CNA, Julie Putz, Social Work, Marissa Kuntz, Intake Coordinator. Third row, standing, Kim Daniel Nims, RN, Lisa McCann, RN, Sue Sonkson, CNA, Johanna Thorndike, RN, Carrie Hines, RN, Kelly Grabo, CNA, Jamie Sweeney, CNA, and Mitchell Haas, DPT Administrator. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Clove Alliance calls on the community to support survivors and take action. Dateline Kankakee. Every April, communities across the nation recognize Sexual Assault Awareness Month, SAAM, a time to honor survivors, raise awareness, and promote prevention efforts to end sexual violence. Clove Alliance, a nonprofit dedicated to the supporting survivors in Kankakee, Iroquois, and Ford counties, is leading the charge locally by organizing a variety of events to educate the public and foster allyship, according to information from the organization. Sexual violence is a pervasive issue that affects people of all ages, genders, and backgrounds, said Tracy Noe Slach, CEO of Clove Alliance. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, 1 in 3 women and 1 in 6 men experience sexual violence in their lifetime, yet many cases go unreported. SAAM is an opportunity to listen to survivors, amplify their voices, and take meaningful steps to make your community safer for everyone. Clove Alliance invites community members to participate in events throughout April, including Grow Aware, Take and Make, all April. Grab a take-home activity designed to spark conversations about body safety and awareness in a way that's accessible to families. Kits are available from our partners. Check out our partners here. Brave, Bold, and Believed Art Show, opening night, April 2nd, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m., and exhibition run April 2nd through May 2nd, held at the Kankakee County Museum. This exhibit features powerful artwork highlighting survivors' resilience and healing. Double Good Popcorn Fundraiser, April 6th through 10th. Support Clove Alliance by purchasing gourmet popcorn, with proceeds benefiting survivor services and prevention programs. Monocles Fundraiser, April 15th, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Show our flyer and enjoy a meal at Monocles Pizza in Kankakee and Bourbonnais, where a portion of proceeds will support Clove Alliance's mission. Sexual Harassment Prevention Training, April 15th, a free virtual training that fulfills the state of Illinois annual requirement while promoting safe and respectful workplaces. Texas Roadhouse Dine to Donate, April 20th, 3 through 10 p.m. Show our flyer and dine at Texas Roadhouse in Bradley, and a portion of the proceeds will benefit Clove Alliance. Compassionate Response to Disclosure and Mandated Reporter Training, April 21st, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. This virtual training is all about acting with care and confidence in a challenging situation. Registration is required and CEUs are available for free. Denim Day, April 29th. Wear denim as a visible way to stand in solidarity with survivors and challenge harmful myths about sexual violence. Culver's Fundraiser, Convent Location, April 29th, 5 p.m. through 8 p.m. Dine in or drive through and show our flyer so a portion of the proceeds of your purchase can be donated to help sustain our free confidential services. Community members are encouraged to visit www.clovealliance.org to get all the details about these SAAM events and ways to support Clove Alliance's mission. Donating, volunteering, and learning more about ending sexual harm will make a lasting impact beyond April. Sexual violence is preventable, and we all have a role to play, said Noe Slach. By showing up, educating yourself, and supporting survivors, you can help create a future free from sexual harm. VVC Art Show set for April 11th. The Vermilion Valley Conference Art Show will be April 11th at Oakwood High School in Fithian. The event will be from noon to 3 p.m. with awards at 2:30 p.m. Participating schools include Armstrong, Bismarck Henning, Rossville Alvin, Co-op, Chrisman, Cessna Park, Georgetown, Ridge Farm, Hoopston Area, Iroquois West, Milford, Oakwood, Salt Fork, Schlarman Academy, Watsika, and Westville. This is Lincoln, and I've been reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, April 2nd, 2026. Have a great day.